You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
And it's another one of those episodes where we have two cigars. What are you smoking this week, Brad?
So this week I'm smoking a little something special. This is going to be the Drew Estate Liga Privada Aniversario 10. So 10th anniversary Liga Privada is on deck, and I've always been a fan of the Liga stuff, and.
Yeah, they don't usually work into the regular rotation, but it's always like if I'm having a special occasion, like a Liga is usually a good special occasion cigar.
What special occasion did you have?
Well, I bought one for my birthday, and yeah, that's about the only thing special. Oh, yeah, you got married.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's why we got those. It was 'cause...
Isn't this our first time recording since that happened?
Yes.
Yes, I made it.
She let him out, boys. The chain hasn't been tightened down yet.
Oh, it's been tightened, trust me. But no, this is notated to be a celebratory release, and it's got a Carrillo seed wrapper grown in the Connecticut River Valley, specifically for Drew Estate, a Mexican San Andreas Negro Binder Negro, paired with a mixture of Nicaraguan and Honduran fillers, and something about a cola de pescado cap and close foot. Like, why can't you just say close foot and pigtail?
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty much what
that is.
Because
that's really all it is. But, you know, notes of pepper, earthiness, definitely a full body cigar. Absolutely made sure to eat before showing up, because I think you and I have both made that mistake of, hey, you know what? We're celebrating. We haven't ate anything today. And fire one, and it's like, man, it takes a special cigar to, you know, kind of make me think that I'm going to be a little queasy. But, you know, I've had that experience. And I think that's one reason why I like these so much more for celebratory purposes.
Yeah, this was meant to be smoked at the fire pit at the wedding, but then you got, like, dragged around by photographers for 2 hours. And
yeah, like, I don't...
I was finally like, here's your cigar, dude. Smoke it when you can, because you're a busy motherfucker.
Like, weddings are, like, I don't know. That's the first time I've been to a wedding with actual photographers and stuff. Like, I knew there'd be a lot of pictures. I didn't realize that 2 hours before the ceremony and 2 hours after, that's all I was going to be... Hey, we just had this rainstorm, but you see this power line with this amazing field over here? Let's run toward it. Okay.
Yeah, by the time they finished, like, you were like, y'all were like struggling to eat. They kept coming, hey, we found something else we want to take a photo. I'm like, motherfucker, let the guy like at least finish us some food.
But I guess that's the reason why, you know, it's like, I don't know. I hope when we did get, like, 30 of the sneak peek photos today. So, you know, hopefully it's worth the amount of money because, dude, I'm definitely in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Like, you hit it big being a podcaster or a YouTuber, I will absolutely be your photographer.
And, well, I am smoking another kind of special cigar. I'm smoking the Macanudo Vintage 2013 edition. So this thing's been aged for... or the tobacco in has been aged for 10 years, consists of a Connecticut broadleaf Maduro wrapper over Honduran Olacho San Agustin binder and fillers of Brazilian Matafina, Nicaraguan Jalapa, Piloto Cubano Seco, and Piloto Cubano Lajero. That's a lot of words.
Did you say Pilates?
Yes, do some Pilates. get them abs straight. But this one's got kind of a, like a coffee, spicy, earthy, and they say it pairs well with bourbons and scotch. Wish I had some bourbon and or scotch.
I can probably arrange for that to happen.
But speaking of vintage things, we're going to talk about a remake, reboot, reimagining of an old thing from the 80s This week we're talking about The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling. And if you've got to do some stunt work, you should call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. You know, get all hyped up to fall off of a tall building or leap a burning car or whatever the other lyrics are to that song. We'll talk about that later. was it fall from a high building, crash a brand new car? So anyway, that's all we got for you right now. We'll be right back with The Fall Guy.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with fire up. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging.
And welcome back. It's time to talk Fall Guy. And
I mean, I'm pretty good at falling down, bro.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I fall. But at least I've trained to like learn how to fall now. So,
well,
just tuck and roll.
I wish somebody would teach me, because I don't even have to fall now and things hurt.
Yeah, I just wake up, slept funny. I walked a couple miles at the Ren Fest. I'm like, my knees hurt today. But
you have knees?
Yeah.
I feel like I just have stuff to...
Oh, God, speaking of knees, and this is the show is, we fall down tangents. I saw a video that made me, like, inappropriately laugh, and I'm sure these guys were all veterans, so they would appreciate me laughing. It was a foot race. All the guys were knee amputees, but they didn't have their prosthetics on. They just had basically a cap at the end of their knee, so they're all, like, short leg racing. The most inappropriate, it was fucking hilarious. These dudes like doing like, and it was like off road too. They were like running through like the fucking mountains with these like on little short legs. It was, it was hysterical.
Like, I don't know. How does that work? Do they like sever the, cause in my opinion, and like just getting on my knees to like, you know, I'm working on something or whatever, shit hurts. Like, you know, even with a cap or whatever, like, You gotta feel shit.
Well, like, you got that, like, I don't know what they call it, but it's like the part that goes around your stub, and then you like the prosthetic leg kind of screws into that. Well, instead of having the lower half of the prosthetic leg, they just had like the foot piece screwed directly into the knee socket.
Oh, okay, so they still had, you know, something.
So they had normal prosthetic legs, but for like this video, they're like, we're gonna do like short leg racing, and I was like, that's fucking hysterical.
Okay, so, like, I took it as, all right, well...
No, this wasn't their normal, like, mode of transportation. This was something they were doing for the video.
Well, no, like, I mean, I realized it was for the video, but I was thinking more so, like, just fucking raw nub.
No. It was screwed into the, like, socket that actually goes onto their leg. And they just didn't have the full extension.
Now I'm definitely going to need to see the video.
Before we went off on a tangent, you were saying you didn't realize this was a like a remake. So you've never seen like the original like 80s Fall Guy?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
Well, the story's slightly different than in the movie. In the TV show, he runs like basically a stunt company. It's like him, his girlfriend, or what, and like his nephew. It was played by Lee Majors, but he was like basically like a stuntman by day, and then like a bounty hunter by night. So when he wasn't like filming a movie, he would take jobs like as a skip trace and go in like getting people that had absconded on their bonds. And usually like whatever stunt sequence he was working on for the movie that they or show that they were filming within the show, somehow that trick, he would have to incorporate it to catch the bad guys by the end of the episode. It's like, all right, you know, in this episode, I'm jumping out of a helicopter and landing on a semi. Oh, the guy's running away in a semi. Hey, I know what to do. Let's do that stunt we did from from this movie. And he drove like a badass, because this was like back in the 80s when everything had to have like a special vehicle, like, you know, like Magnum's Ferrari or like fucking Airwolf 18.
Well,
van.
I mean, I definitely recognized the fucking truck.
Yeah.
But like,
that's one thing I did appreciate.
I'm going to have to brush up on my, you know, I mean, damn. Like, I thought I was pretty well versed, you know, being an 80s baby, but fuck no.
Well, this is like early. I think it was like 83.
81.
Yeah, yeah. This was like, I don't think I ever saw it when it was live. I saw it like later on when it was in reruns and stuff. But I always thought that, you know, show was cool as shit, because it was like the dude like drove a big jacked up truck, smoked cigars, and like kicked ass. It made me want to be a stuntman.
Well, that sounds
but
like...
I never did it, because I live in Georgia, not Hollywood.
I mean, bro, it's not too late, because Georgia's turned into,
I know,
Hollywood.
But now I'm too old to that shit. I'd jump off a building, I would, like, definitely die.
Nah, you'd be fine. As long as somebody doesn't try to, you know, sabotage you and...
So, yeah. That, too, and it had one of the... Because this was also in the 80s, when every show had to have a cool theme song. Like, nowadays, like, show... I mean... If they have a theme, it's just like a thematical, like, you know, musical piece. It's not like a song. Well, the Fall Guy had like a badass theme song called The Unknown Stuntman, and it was sung by Lee Majors. So he's, you know, the star, kind of like a Walker Texas Ranger doing the, singing the Walker, or Chuck Norris singing the Walker Texas Ranger theme song.
Was it supposed to rain?
I thought it was already done for the day, but yeah, now we're getting some rain up in here. So if you hear that on the mics, we are storming here.
As long as it doesn't do like this morning. I thought we got a mini tornado.
Ooh. Yeah, it was rough this morning.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of missed that aspect, though, because like... The new sitcoms that have been revived on Netflix and the Amazons and all that kind of stuff, like, they're not catchy. Like,
no, most of them, it's like it's a musical sequence with the credits. They're not like a cool theme song. Like, yeah, because but back in the '80s, everything had to have like a pretty badass like theme to go with it.
Whether they intentionally meant to make it badass or not is, you know, completely, you know, subjective.
I mean, Airwolf, Knight Rider, fucking Magnum P.I. I mean, we did a whole, like, long, long ago, if you look way back in the catalog, we did a episode on 80s detective shows, because I don't remember if Fall Guy made that episode or not, because he wasn't really a detective. He was, like, more of a bounty hunter. And lived in a cabin out in the woods. I mean, like I said, I wanted to be the Fall Guy.
I mean, dude, we just gotta find some woods, because they keep cutting them down for subdivisions.
Yeah. You need, like, fucking buy a mountain at this point, just to, you know, live out in the middle of nowhere.
Just look out and be like, yes, this is me on my mountain throne.
But yeah, we got the new version of Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, with Aaron Taylor Johnson. But also, like, that it's directed by David Leitch, however he pronounced his name. But it's a movie made by, like, a former stunt guy. Kind of like the John Wick films. Like, the, you know, the directors of the original John Wick films.
Well, and we've talked about that for, stunt guys. You know, some of the films that, you know, stunt guys have gone on to take the director role, and, you know, like, they made legit badass films, because that's the thing. Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, you know, I don't even think about, you know, how many times, you know, the actor that gets all the credits and all of the face and the screen time, how much all the stuff that makes me be like, that dude's a badass, is played
just
by his
dude
double.
That you have no idea.
That I have no clue who he is, getting, you know, no real credit or anything. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of like that, the theme song, The Unknown Stuntman, which they had a... I kept waiting for that song to show up, and then I didn't get it until, like, the credits, and they got, like, a new cover of it by Blake Shelton. But Yeah, Ryan Gosling plays Colt Seavers, which is also like a badass stuntman name. But before we even get into like kind of the details of the movie, I really appreciate, you know, him being the director, being a former stunt guy, that it all practical effects. Like these days now, it's like fucking they can do most of this shit with like CGI. But, you know, in this movie, if they were flipping a car, making a jump, or like blowing shit up, they like legit did it practically. And even in, if you stay all the way to the end during the credits sequence, they show a lot of like the behind the scenes filming going and say, hey, look, here's us really flipping this car like 10 times. Or I'm pretty sure that big jump they do in the trophy truck at the end of the movie was like a world record like jump. Like they never jumped a truck on camera like that far in a movie. So yeah, I like really appreciated like the, you know, as kind of a filmmaking nerd, like the practical stunt effects was like,
yeah, I mean,
so
there's
impressive.
Just something about, you know, CGI, like cool for the programmers and the people, but you know, like that's never going to replace.
You know, if I'm watching a Marvel movie, yeah, cool, CGI, because there's aliens and laser guns and shit, but
dude,
I'm watching
had,
like an old
this
school
had
action
aliens,
movie.
Yeah, okay?
But the old school action movie, I'm just like, oh, this is badass.
But I mean, the amount of engineering and rigging and everything else, like, to... Yeah, this is going to be perfectly safe. Perfect. You just hop in there, jump that 250 feet, we all shake hands, kiss babies, and walk away.
Don't forget to give the thumbs up.
Yeah, just, I need that trademark grin and the thumbs up.
So yeah, I kind of the throwback to the original, I like that, like, when you see him, like, at home in Hollywood before, because the movie within the movie, they're shooting in, like, Sydney, Australia, I think it is. But yeah, when you see him, like, at his house, he has the 83 GMC 4x4 from, like, the original show. I'm like, oh, that's badass. You even see him doing donuts in it, like, at the end of the movie.
I mean, now that I've seen the truck, because I've actually put together, you know, a fucking model of that truck before.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
I forgot about that.
When I was...
when you were in, like, a model kit.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, that's right up there with the fucking truck from Twister with Dorothy on the back. Like, you know, you just... certain iconic vehicles, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to start me a... And then they became harder, and I had to start buying Japanese models, and those don't come with assembly instructions. And,
no, at halftime, they're, like, in Japanese.
And I'm like, you're going to remain in the box.
Yeah, I remember had a buddy of mine that, like, ran a comic book... or friend of my parents that had, like, a comic book store, so she'd get me some, like, of these, like, Japanese Gundam models before they were, like, available here. And that shit would be, like, totally in Japanese, and I'm like... I'm glad this thing has pictures, because I can't read these fucking instructions for shit.
Well, that's like I was trying to piece together that DeLorean, and I'm like, this is obviously the shell, and I got nothing from there. Like, even the fucking wheels had to be assembled.
Oh, if you want a DeLorean, Fan Home has a DeLorean now. It's, like, these super high-detailed, like, all-metal models.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a subscription. You sign up for whatever a month, and they'll send you like a couple pieces, like a couple steps each month. And like after like a year, you have like a completed model. But they're like you can fucking turn the lights on, and like if you reach inside and turn the steering wheel, the wheels move, and like everything lights up and makes sounds. They're like super fucking detailed models. But they do like...
It sounds expensive.
Yeah, it's like $50 a month, and it takes you like a year to build the thing. So you end up paying like a grand for this fucking model by the end of it.
I've gone to Barnes and Noble, you know, buying the little fucking metalwork. No, suck. I'll break a tab.
But they change the what they have licensed, so like the models are only available. So right now they have a DeLorean as part of their like three or four models, because they had at one point a Millennium Falcon, and this thing was like 3 foot long. It was fucking huge. But yeah, they don't. That's been retired. They did an Ecto-1,
and
Knight Rider.
You just got to buy your Lego kit, bro. Just suck it up.
Hell, it'd be cheaper. $200 the other Lego kits cheaper than that, building that fucking
Phantom.
No,
I was talking
model.
About the one that's like $2,000.
Oh. I mean, it's probably cost about the same. after you, you know, pay the month-to-month on that shit. Oh. So, yeah, we got Ryan Gosling, Colt Seavers. And the movie starts with him in the midst of filming... He's basically, and the guy who, he's a Tom Ryder, Aaron Taylor Johnson, future James Bond, apparently. I'm pretty sure he was like doing a impression of Tom Cruise. I mean, his name is like fucking Tom Ryder. Tom Cruise. Sounds similar. And like even like the movie, like, you know, they were like look like Mission Impossible ripoffs and so on. So yeah, he had basically starts, he's like his stunt double for like,
well, shit, I even film. Like the throwbacks to, you know, Miami Vice and shit, yeah. Later on in the film, like
he was like, yeah, that was my first job as like a Miami Vice stunt show guy. Oh. But I'm pretty sure, cuz Aaron's like an English dude. He even sounded like Tom Cruise. Like, he sounded like he was straight doing a fucking coked out Tom Cruise impression through this whole movie. And I appreciated it.
Well, part of me really wants to see the movie within a movie. Like,
yes. So,
Colt, go get him, Space Cowboy. Like,
yeah. Colt breaks his back on a stunt, filming the latest, Tom Ryder movie, because apparently the safety cables that's supposed to like slow him to a stop were too long or something like that, and he ended up actually hitting the ground and breaking his back, and he thinks he screwed up and gets out of stunt work. But at the time he's dating a camera operator. Well, he's like too ashamed of himself because he blames himself for this accident, so he kind of just ghosts her. And then he gets this call from Tom's producer, like, hey, we really need you, like, you know, come back for one last, you know, you're the best, like, you know, I need some help. And, like, the director, like, specifically requests you, and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. And he's like, well, it's Jody, your ex-girlfriend, this is her first movie, and if you don't come help her out, the movie's not going to get made. So he's like, fuck, all right, I'll do it for her. But yeah, the movie, her first movie is a star-crossed space love story between a space cowboy and an alien queen called Metal Storm, which is the most badass name from... It sounds like that should be like a fucking like band name. Going to see Metal Storm at the Palladium.
Go get him, Space Cowboy.
Yeah, it looks so silly. Like, the sequences they're filming, but I'm like... This might actually be badass. Like, I kind of want to see.
Well, no, like, you're seeing, like, you know, like, all of the effects go, and I'm like, this is the movie in the making right here. Like, yeah, we're just going to record, you know, behind the scenes to make this in a thing, and, like, this is legit how they're doing all this shit.
I mean, they probably shot enough of those fake action sequences that are like, that should be, like, when they, you know, because right now it's in theaters and you can rent it. If that shit comes out on Blu-ray, they have to have like a short version of Metal Storm, or at least like a Metal Storm trailer on the.
Well, no, this will be features. Like, you know, fucking, you know, the Grindhouse films, and it's like now, you know, featuring Machete. Like, no, that has to be a movie. Like, if enough people get
behind this,
there's
so many fake trailers that became from you know, movies that became like. It was started off as a joke. I mean, hell, Thanksgiving was the same way. It was a joke from Grindhouse that someone's like, we got to do this a real movie. So, yeah, all y'all, you know, write the people in charge. Tell them, like, we want to see Metal Storm starring, what's it? Goddamn Aquaman.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, Momoa. That's who replaces Tom Ryder. So, of course, Colt gets there and finds out that, oh no, she didn't request me. In fact, she hates me. And the producer's like, hey, I just told you that to get you out here. Here's the thing. Tom has gone missing and we're not gonna be able to film this movie without him. So you're a stunt man. No one will notice if you're like missing, like you need to track him down. You use your stunt skills to investigate this and track down, figure out what happened to Tom. He's got into with some shady characters and you need to, you know, be a detective and go find him for us so her movie doesn't fail. You know, do it for her. And he's like, all right, fine, fuck it. But like the initial stuff with like him and her, like where she's like, you know, it's like his first day back, he's like, I haven't done a stunt in like years because of my back, and like I'm still kind of scared, and like, all right, we're gonna put you right in this like car chase where we're gonna flip a car 9 times, good luck, buddy. But after that they're like, all right, fine, you know, if you're gonna be on the film, like, let's film this sequence where you get blown up and thrown into a rock, and just keeps like, you know, that take just wasn't right. Let's do this one more time. Just keeps like fucking just abuse, like hitting him into the rock, like over and over again.
How many times can we light this man on fire?
Yeah. Light him on fire, hit him into the rock. And she's like, hey, let me tell you a little bit about your backstory. It's about a space cowboy who just up and leaves this girl, and like, you know, like, they're can they get together? Like, they finally like starts like talking. He's like, I don't know, maybe like Space Cowboy was ashamed of him, like having this whole like breakdown of their relationship.
God, I would suck so badly at that, because she's like, no, we're not going to have a private conversation among adults. Get that man a bullhorn.
Yes.
Like.
And then they're like, the one alien's like, here, let me have it. Like, yeah, like, I had a three-way. They're like, no, you're, that's. Like, he's like, no, you don't have anything intelligent to add to this conversation. Just go sit back down extra.
Although those suits were pretty badass, though.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, the fake Hall H, like, trailer reveal at the end of the movie, like you said, I'm like, god damn it, now I kind of want to see Metal Storm. Like, you see like the crazy,
and this year at Comic-Con there's going to be an actual trailer.
Yes, because you see all the crazy sequences they're filming and stuff, but then once you see it with like the CGI overlay of like, you know, the blasters actually shooting stuff, and like it looks like they're on an alien world instead of a beach in Australia, you're like, oh fuck, this looks fucking awesome.
That's that movie magic, man.
Hell, and it probably wasn't even shot in Australia. It was probably in a parking deck in Atlanta. That's where all the fucking Marvel shit gets shot. With a fake Sydney Opera House in the background. Oh, no. They actually filmed in Sydney, Australia, so. At the Disney Studios Australia.
Well, I mean, knowing they were in Australia, I mean, it only makes sense that somebody goes missing, because everything in Australia is out to get you.
Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't have more, you know, alligators or something, and crocodiles. Yeah, that's it. That's the things that are in Australia. Other than the nut-biting dog, there wasn't a lot of animal sequences in this movie.
No. The fucking cockatoo, dude.
Oh, where, yeah. I forgot about the cockatoo.
I was like, people walk in, hello, I'm like, god damn it, now I need a bird that greets me when I walk in the house.
Oh, yeah, my cats run up, but they don't say anything. I want like a, you know, bird come give me like a fist bump or something when I come in the door. Make me feel welcomed when I come home.
Now I want a dog and to learn French.
Yeah, so in his quest to find Tom, he's like, oh, let me go talk to his assistant, because his assistant knows like everything. So he tracks her down to a dog park. He's like, oh shit, what's the fucking dog's name? Jean-Paul or something?
Yeah.
He's like,
it's not to be confused with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He's like, I love this dog, I did a movie with him, like, I can't believe Tom kept him. He's like, yeah, because he had this trick where he would, like, you know, bite people in the nuts on command. He thought that shit was funny as hell. And so, like, and then bad guys show up and kidnap the girl because she's got some incriminating video on her phone, or Tom's phone. And him, he's like, come on, buddy, we gotta go save her. And, like, him and the dog in the fucking, and that's too, like, we talked about the badass original truck. Of course, they're like, as soon as he gets to Australia, he's like, hey, I need a vehicle. I'm like, here, take one of these. They're product placement for the movie, so don't break it. But it's like the modern version of the truck from the original. It's like a brand new GMC, like, extreme off-road. I'm like, oh, this thing's badass. And I saw one in real life the other day, like, at the cigar shop. I'm like, damn, I wish I wasn't poor. I would totally buy one of these. This thing looks badass in real life. But yeah, him and the dog, you know, fucking, like, he's like, quit your whining, dude. Like, strap up. Like, fucking going off jumps and shit. And then they get in that, fucking total the truck and end up in the back of a, like, dumpster and shit, and he's just, like, telling the dog, like, it's like a buddy cop thing, because he's, like, you know, talking to the dog, and the dog's doing like, everything. He's like, dude, bite this guy in the nuts. And he's like, what are you waiting on? And he's like, oh, okay. just giving the dogs it's commands, like, throughout this fight sequence.
He hasn't quite figured out that this isn't part of the movie. Like, this is real life, bro. Like,
yeah, like, the fucking,
gotta save the girl.
Water bottles, like, underneath the accelerator. He's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, oh, sorry. And goes out and pulls the thing out from under the brakes, like, and stop the car. But that whole sequence was fucking badass.
Dude, all of the sequences were.
Yeah, the ones they were doing for the fake movie, and then the ones that he was doing in the fake real life were all pretty badass. It's like, hey, maybe all this, like, you know, stunt training you did actually pays off, and you can be a,
well, I mean, dude, man. Even him going back, and he's like, yeah, I just park cars. I drive valet.
Yeah, the guy pisses him off, so he takes his fucking charger drifting. Like, all the Mexican dudes at the Mexican restaurant are like, hell yeah. They're like, you can tell it's not the first time he's fucking done this. They're like, oh, we got an asshole customer. Send Colt to get his car.
That could be me.
He's out there fucking slinging donuts, and the guy's like, it's a rental. Don't do it.
I mean, it's literally on the contract to abuse the vehicle.
That's like everybody buying these retired police cars. I'm like, don't do it, bro. I know what we put those things through. Hey, my car. That motherfucker's been driven like shit.
Cold start, 0 to 90.
Better near.
That's another great action movie.
So, question I thought of the day and like kind of pause the discussion on this. Of all the 80s shit we've gotten remakes of, is there something that you've not seen yet you think this deserves a modern reboot? Or surprised that we haven't seen it yet? Because we've gotten Dukes of Hazzard, we've gotten Fall Guy, we've gotten A-Team, we've gotten Magnum P.I. Like, a lot of the stuff has had a modern reimagining, but Knight Rider got a TV show that only made two seasons. It was kind of lame, but because it just ain't Knight Rider without the Hoff.
No, I mean, you can't. Dude, that's such an iconic character. Like, you can't.
I mean, I say that, but...
It
was good. I mean, it only lasted like 3-4 seasons, but I like the new Magnum P.I. The only thing I could come up with, I'm like, they haven't done a remake reboot of is yet, is fucking Airwolf. Like, I'm surprised that, because I would like to see that with, like, modern technology, because I always thought Airwolf was badass. That's, like, the one that, I've not seen a, hell, even, like, Baywatch got a movie. You know? I mean, whether it's a comedic interpretation or, like, a legit, like, you know, remake of something, it's like, yeah, they've kind of drug up all the old 80s TV shows at this point, but I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised we've not seen an Airwolf movie yet. Because that, too, was about stuntmen. You know, they were stunt pilots that, you know, did missions for the CIA in their spare time when they weren't doing stunt flying.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, you know. I mean, like,
hell, another A-Team movie. That fucking A-Team movie.
Well, and I was going to kind of say A-Team, but then again, I'm like, like, that's why, like, sometimes, like, with the reboots and stuff, it's like, I get taken by surprise sometimes, you know, because I'm like, in my head, I would have never, like, this is a classic, let it be its thing, pay homage to it, but I don't think about, oh, this is reimagined and with modern tech, and it's like, holy shit, like, this is super badass. Like, I'm just not a visionary like that.
I mean, because that's why I say Airwolf too, because like they did all those like flying sequences without CGI. Like, you could do some like legit aerial combat and make it look cool. I mean, you saw what they did with like fucking Top Gun. Like, doing that, but with, like, souped-up helicopters and shit is basically, like, you know, Top Gun with helicopters. I mean, I think they could make a really badass Airwolf these days.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Rambo and shit like that, but I'm like, dude.
Hell, we're still getting, I mean, we just got, like, a new Rambo movie a couple of years
ago. Oh, that doesn't count. But, I don't. What do you want? You want Blue Lagoon? God.
I mean, hell, we're about to get another Twister movie.
Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with the original or anything of that nature.
Hey, I'm pretty sure the same truck's in it. That looks like the only star that's returning. This is the Dodge Ram. I didn't see anybody else in that trailer from the
from the
other movie.
Like, originally, it was supposed to be, you know, when... But then as more and more details, they got further and further away. I don't know. What about Maximum Overdrive?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. That's like, that was a good movie.
That or, you know, like, I don't know. I always liked Enemy Mine, too.
Yeah,
you know?
That was a... Yeah, we spoke about when Lou Gossett died. That was a Great fucking movie. Oh, fucking Iron Eagles. Like a modern version of Iron Eagle. That might be dope. I don't know. After I saw Top Gun, I want more jet fighter movies.
Dude, I I've been getting big into the sim world, right? So I saw a guy that's got a actual flight simulator, but his setup is on almost like a lathe, so it's just got, a mounting.
Oh, so it'll, like,
so
tilt
when
and
he
pan.
Barrel rolls, like, this bitch legit barrel rolls.
I think I saw a video of that. I was like, oh, man, that would...
Dude, that looks so puking. Insane. Yes.
Play Star Fox in that thing. Do a barrel roll! Do a barrel roll! Oh, speaking of Star Fox, I did see a video that, you know those race, the front perspective racing drones?
Yeah.
Somebody basically made a small, Star Fox fighter and put it on, a stick in front of the racing drone. So from that camera, it looked like the video game with, the first-person perspective of the Star Fox fighter. And he was, running it through the woods and shit. And I'm like, oh, damn, this looks like fucking live-action Star Fox. This is badass. But, yeah, back to... to the side quest of this movie. Yeah, when he goes to his
this
house.
This whole movie was a side quest, okay?
When he goes to Tom's apartment and there's all these props and shit from the movies, and he ends up getting meeting the bird and getting in a fight with his current girlfriend. She's like, I don't know, man. We had a big party and he just disappeared. I don't know where he's at. But when he finally finds the camera, it turns out apparently Tom, got high and murdered a dude at a party and by kicking the fucking stuntman and his current stuntman, and the dude fell and broke his neck. So he's like, oh shit. And then it turns out that, the whole reason that they called him there, the twist was that, we're going to frame you for this murder Tom did because we can do the fucking cool, we 3D scanned your face and told you it was for the movie. So we're going to actually edit and make it look like you were the one that killed your rival stuntman. And we're going to frame you for this whole thing because you're close enough to looking like Tom that with a little CGI, we can.
Well, I mean, fast forward to where we are now, even AI,
Yeah, fuck, you don't even need a body double at this point,
Yeah, exactly.
That, whatchamacallit, what the hell is that shit that makes it look like someone's talking? Deepfakes, yeah. With the deepfake technology that nowadays is fuck, you probably won't even need a 3D scan of... I mean, hell, they can even, CGI, not CGI, but AI voices if they got enough, samples of what people sound like.
I don't know, question everything. Believe nothing.
Yeah, unless I see something in person these days, I'm like, I don't believe shit.
But even if we see it in person, what if it's a hologram?
Goddamn robot.
What if we are in VR right now?
You should have paid for the upgrade, because this is the... If this is the game you're playing, it ain't worth it. At least, put in the cheat code and give me a Ferrari or something, damn.
No, we're just that sim that, you lock in a...
You lock... When you build a house and you remove the doors and see how long the sims can survive. That would make so much sense if, life is just a
big simulation
of the sims. Because inevitably, you can build, all kind of cool shit, but inevitably you get bored and you turn Godzilla loose on your city, or you, like you said, you build a pool and you remove the ladder and watch your sims fucking drown because they can't get out of the pool. Eventually, you get bored and start fucking with your creation. Goddamn, that is probably the greatest evidence for we're living in a sim. Now that I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, fuck. All the bad shit that happens in life is some bored alien kid who fucking with his sims.
We're just the pawn. And some scheme that we can't even...
Yeah, when we get the reveal of... I like his homeboy, too, who was, one of his, proteges, I guess, who's now, the stunt director. And like they communicate with like, you know, he's always like saying like different movie quotes to him, and he's like, you know, having to guess what is. I like that.
I feel like that's your and my dynamic, where you'll reference the thing and I'm like, where is that even from? You're like, I'm talking to an idiot right now. Like, dude, this is only blah, 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 blah.
No, it's that I'm slightly autistic and my autism is movie quotes. It's like, I can't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember some lines from some movie like 30 fucking years ago. I have selective photographic memory. And gun stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, he's using a SIG P220 and with a 15 round mag. I know exactly what that gun is. I said, it's like Brandon Herrera said. It's like, you know, we're all a little autistic. You just get to choose your special abilities. And I got the movie quotes and gun knowledge special ability unlocked on my VR character.
I don't have any unlocks yet. I'm still in like the tutorial phase, so you don't get any skills. You're just like, you walked forward. You did good.
Achievement unlocked.
You ducked under a log. Perfect.
You didn't hit the wall.
I've hit the wall many times.
Oh. But yeah, another thing too about this movie, it's still in theaters and still doing fairly well.
Yeah, what
did
I see? Like 143 million when I looked at it earlier or something like that?
Yeah, box office so far is 145, but it came out on video this last week, like where you can rent it, but it's still in theaters and there wasn't that much drop off week to week, even though you now don't have to go to the theaters.
I mean,
and this is one I can say recommend, like, you see in theaters, because the action sequences are worth it on the big screen.
I watched it on my phone, mm-hmm. and I was like, damn, I got a gift card to the theater. I should have went to the theater, but then I wouldn't have been here, because I would have been like, Joe, I'm at the theater, I'm not going to get out till like 9 o'clock.
And what about the soundtrack to this movie, too? Like, talking about throwback to like 80s and 90s. Fucking, we had Kiss. We had like, and like covers, too, of like,
oh yeah, Made for Loving You. Karaoke bar and stuff like that, and
some fucking Journey, I mean, the, whatever.
But nothing.
A little thing called love during one of the action sequences. I mean, it was
nothing compared to the fucking end of the film, though. Like, that's when it got badass. Like, for real.
Before we even get to that sequence, because he's like, he pulls up. He's like, "What's this jacket?" And he's like, "Oh, it's from my first thing I worked on. I was a Miami Vice stunt man in like the Miami Vice stunt show or whatever." And so he's like, "I used to like jump boats, like, you know, five
backwards
times a day.
With my hand tied behind my back with my blindfold."
So in the reveal that Tom's the actual bad guy and they're trying to frame him for murder, he's like, well, we're just going to make it a murder-suicide, so we're going to douse you in gasoline. And he's acting like he's begging for his life, and he's really just getting a mouthful of gas. So when they light the lighter, he just, like, fucking spits fire on the dude and then escapes. And they get in this epic fucking boat chase. And like, he calls the girl, too, and he's like, listen, because she, you know, earlier she asked him something, he's gives her the thumbs up. She's like, I hate it. Y'all never fucking talk. All you something is give you the thumbs up. And he's like, hey, the thumbs up is because that's the way we were raised and trained to like not show pain or fear. But let me tell you something. It fucking hurts every time. Every time I fall, it hurts. But the only thing that would hurt more is losing you. And like, whatever happens, like, I love you. And then fucking like blows up the damn, jumps the boat and blow it up. I'm like, oh, he ain't dead. Because this is like his old school stunt shit. And then he shows back up and he's like, yeah, fucking, the video got destroyed. So like, I got no evidence that, Tom, she's like, no, don't worry, we got this. Like, now that they think you're dead, he'll actually return to set, and then we'll make him do his own stunts and get him to confess to the murder, because you're going to scare the fuck out of him. So he's like, we want to get you in the truck for just you know, just some reaction shots. You're not going to
just
drive
a blue
or
screen stuff. Yeah. I didn't even know there was a I knew green screen. Yeah. What the fuck is a blue screen?
That's the new shit. That's what they do all in the Marvel movies.
Is that why you got a blue tarp?
That's because my roof leaks.
Are you doing some, you know, side hustle content that nobody knows about? Is that where all these new toys are coming from all of a sudden?
Check out my OnlyFans. So yeah, he's in the truck, you know, this badass like fucking trope. You know, yeah, do the reaction shots, and then all of a sudden, like, fucking Colt gets in dressed like exactly like him. He's like, hey, guess what? I got the steering wheel, and steering wheel's on my side of the car, so let's do a little thing. You know, fucking just takes him off on this, like, badass car chase, and they've, you know, they're filming, like, the final sequence of the movie while they're trying to, like, scare him into confessing, and he's like, shit's blowing up all around him, and then, of course, his bodyguards try to come rescue him, so, like, the whole stunt crew's, like, in on it. They're, like, fucking these dudes up, like, you know, setting off the explosions and rolling their cars, and, like, the whole time they're, like, filming the whole thing, like, this is gonna look fucking badass if we don't all die.
If this all comes together, man.
Yeah, don't fuck with stunts, man, because stunt crew, like, fucked all these, like, operator dudes up.
Well, I mean, you know, you sort of got to know how to choreograph, you know, fights and stuff. You know how to take falls. You know how to get, you know, fucking ran over by vehicles. And
oh, yeah, when he's trying to, before that, when he, they're like, the girlfriend tells him, like, hey, he used to hang out with this drug dealer at this club. And they go to the, he goes to the club, and he's like, nah, I'm not drinking. They're like, get him like a fucking Shirley Temple, and they lace his drink. And he's like tripping balls, and like the fight sequence while he's tripping balls, and there's all these like fucking animation and shit going on. I'm like,
no,
that
dude,
was cool as fuck.
It was the fucking unicorn, bro.
Yeah. He's like, how long is this shit going to last? Have you seen the unicorn yet? Yes. All right. Yeah. You still got a couple hours to go. And like the whole time he's like fucking trying to investigate, and the damn unicorn is like following him around and shit. But like when the dude gets his car and tries to run away, he like, all right, I gotta stop this car, puts in his fucking mouthpiece, and just jumps through the, jumps on the windshield, takes the hit. That's one way to get a motherfucker to pull over.
And I mean, you know, we always end up inevitably comparing movies to video games. And you had your helicopter boss battle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they get the confession, but then the bad guys get the hold of the tape, and they're trying to, like, fly away, and he's gotta, like, jumps on the camera car with the crane. You know, get me to the helicopter. Get to the chopper. And that whole, like, mid-air fight sequences where they're, like, beating the hell out of each other in the back of a Huey. I'm like, he's, like, you know, shooting out one end, like, flipping up under that. And he finally, like, you know, gets them all. And he's like, hey, dumbass, your gun's out of bullets. And he click, click, click. And he just gives him, like, the double bird and, like, fucking backflips out of the helicopter onto the pad. I'm like, hell yeah. I want to be Colt Seavers when I grow up.
Did we grow up too fast?
Yeah, now we're too old to be Colt Seavers.
Are we, though?
I don't know. Fucking Ryan Gosling's probably, like, same age. But he's in a lot better shape than I am.
Is he?
Oh, there's a... have you seen that car commercial he did? For Fall Guy?
Yes, yeah.
Where they're like, hey, Ryan, can you go pick up all the guys for, like, the premiere? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he's going and picking up all his stunt crew. And they're all, like, jumping out of buildings and doing all kind of crazy shit when he, like, when he picks them up. And then they start doing fucking carpool karaoke with the with the stunt guys.
Dude, we could totally do this.
I got the GoPro.
I mean, that you got a blue screen.
Yeah. I just don't know how to use. I can do a little bit of video editing. I don't know anything about CGI. We need a nerd to teach us how to do.
We might have
Photoshop.
One. Be like, hey, I need you to get that camera and shit from your college.
Yeah. Yeah, your fucking wedding video better look like a damn Marvel movie with that fucking camera.
Like, I just saw you out there just, like, looking at all the things on it. I'm like, I wouldn't even have a clue what I'm looking at.
I'm like, holy shit, this is a red camera. This is way too much camera for what he's filming today. This is fucking awesome. I mean, the camera's so goddamn big, he had to, like, wear a fucking back brace with a crane attachment to it. You can't carry the motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean, I had a full-on fucking director. What? Where does that make any sense?
And, like, the professional audio equipment was, like, kept falling off. I'm like, dude, I got, like, these little DJI wireless mics that would just clip on. I'm like, your shit doesn't even have a clip on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably costs way more than my fucking audio setup. My shit's got magnets.
I got some gaff tape. Yeah, it doesn't stick to this fabric, and we have no belt loops to have a belt to secure anything to a waist. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't.
Yeah, and your shit falls off in the mid-ceremony.
I planned that. Okay, you know, because...
We should have got a boom mic and, like, had somebody on there holding a boom mic over you.
God, missed opportunity. That would have been so badass. Had a telescoping boom mic that you could just... We talked about so many cool things and did none of them.
Hindsight's 2020. You're like, hey, you know the thing we should have done?
Well.
So what's your favorite action sequence of this, this movie?
Oh, my... I don't know. Seeing the garbage truck go through, you know, the fucking burbs, you
with
know,
like a fight in a dumpster on the
yeah,
dragon.
Like
dumpster.
That one was pretty epic. But then, like everything that transpired in like the canyon, like there yeah. was so many cars rolling, so many explosions. Like
that's definitely the biggest set piece. But yeah, I think I like that. That car chase through Sydney, dragging the fucking dumpster, and them like fighting it, and then the dog jumping in and out of the fight, biting motherfuckers in the nuts. I'm like, that was cool as shit.
I definitely never got tired of the dog. Like that whole thing where he's like, "Come on, buddy, we got to protect your core."
And like at the end, yo, you when it kind of shows like what happens, like he's back in the stunt game, and now it looks like because he's got the Fall Guy logo on everything, so now it looks like he's back. He started his own company. Like this is almost like a prequel to the TV show, because in the TV show he was much, or at least appeared much older, because like in the 80s, 40 looked like 50, and now 40 looks like 25 if you got enough roids and plastic surgery. But yeah, so he's got like the truck, and he keeps the fucking dog. He's like, fuck that guy, he's an asshole, I'm taking his dog, I'm taking the girl, and I'm taking his fucking dog.
Whatever happened to the bird?
Just doing donuts.
I wanted the bird to do a cool stunt.
Yeah, just doing donuts in the on the beach with his girl and his nut biting dog. And then we got cameo from the original stars. So like once like they've stop the bad guys and the cops show up to arrest him at the end, it's Lee Majors and Heather Thompson, who played the original Joni from the, so those were the two cops that show up and arrest Tom and his producer at the end of the movie. I was like, fuck yes, they got the original Fall Guy in this. I kept waiting for him to show up in some kind of cameo. I didn't expect him to be the cop at the end that comes to bust him. And his badge, if you look, his badge just said Fall Guy on it. It wasn't like an actual police department yeah. or anything. And then his, you know, Tom's domestic, these aren't real cops. These are people from fucking props. I'm calling my lawyer, like, walks out into the middle of a fucking minefield, like, caution, no cell phones, you know, explosives. And he's like, oh, I'm getting a signal. Boom. And like, oh, well, that took care of him. And his assistant is like, hey, somebody give me the number for Jason Momoa's agent. And then you get the, because that her whole thing was like, this, you know, my first movie, this is going to be my Hall H Comic-Con reveal shot. And they cut to them doing the premiere in Hall H. And it's like all the sequence you saw Colt filming previously. Now it's like Jason Momoa. It's like, oh, shit. Yeah, fucking Jason Momoa and Metal Storm. I'll make it happen.
I don't, you know, there's been this weird trend where we kind of speak about things and
and then they happen.
So Metal Storm, 100% gonna be a thing, and
or at least
so
a video game.
It has been.
I'd play
spoken.
That game.
I think there's already a no, it's Bullet Storm.
Yeah. Oh, but then you got the, I like that, you know, kind of the smaller sequence. It wasn't really a stunt sequence. Is when she like calls him. She's like, I'm having trouble figuring out how to wrap up the movie. Let me get your opinion. And she's like, and they're, you know, again secretly talking about their relationship. She's like, what about like a split screen? And
they go split.
They're doing all the thing because he's still like high as shit. But they're doing all the things they're talking about in the while he's like looking and finds like the dead body in the in the bathtub. Well, you know, him and the unicorn.
So next time we check into hotels, We should probably order the fruit platter.
Yeah.
Let's just try that and see what happens.
Can I get a fruit platter? He's like, yeah, here's the key to the room with the dead guy. What the fuck was I supposed to do with the dead guy? What kind of fruit platter are y'all selling in this hotel? I expected drugs and hookers. I got a dead guy in a bathtub. This is some bullshit.
Bro, it's Weekend at Bernie's.
That's basically what they were trying to do. We're going to CGI him together and Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah, so his whole... And then you also find out that, like, you know, that Tom actually set... not only did he try to frame him from the murder, he's one that made him change the settings on the drop rope so he would break his back because he was, like, jealous of, like, the stuntman. I do all my own stunts, which I don't. But the stuntman's getting too much camera time. Like, I need to take him out because he's making me look bad. So it's like, you know, his whole act, he's like, what the fuck? I didn't fuck up. You fucking sabotaged me, you son of a bitch. But yeah, that final, like, jump in the truck into the fucking alien spaceship and then rolling and all that shit. I was like, that too is like, I'm pretty sure that was like a world record, like, jump from what I heard.
I mean, they announced it several times in the film, but we got this cool thing called the interwebs, Joe. You didn't Google to see if it was a true record or not?
No, because stories are much better if you don't verify their accuracy. Hey, we're real media. Real media doesn't tell the truth. Why should we? Everything is fake news. Are you even listening to this podcast right now? We could just be AI.
I mean, nobody's listening to this podcast right now. This episode's been pre-recorded.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm surprised you don't have some cool props or something set up on the table.
Yeah, I didn't have any Fall Guy toys. Like, you're the one that had the... I think I still have, like, an old, like, Hot Wheels truck, but it's, like, in storage somewhere. Yeah, I didn't have any... I could have brought my sword. I bought at Renfest, but I don't quite fit the theme. I don't know. That might have been one of the alien weapons that they were using in the Space Cowboy and with his ninja sword. So you think this one's get a sequel of the further adventures of Colt Seifers? Because like I said, there's almost like a prequel to the show, because like the show, he's kind of operating as a bounty hunter and detective guy by, you know, when he's not filming movies.
I think if we got some kind of sequel, I mean, whatever happened to Gail? Did we confirm she's dead?
No, only Tom got blown up. Gail got arrested.
So Gail calls in some Hollywood hard hitters or some shady underground, you know, prison gang type shit, and
assassins come after Colt Seifers. Well, one character that wasn't in this movie that was in the TV show was his nephew Howie, which was like a young up and coming stunt guy. So do we get like the sequel where now we have Howie and Colt's having to take him under his wing and teach him to be a badass stuntman like him?
Or do we fast forward and, you know, now Colt's got a son?
Yeah. We get like a Top Gun type deal. We get like, you know, whatever, Glenn Powell is the or Miles Teller is the young up and comer.
That, or we get the Fall Girl. I could see that possibly being a thing.
They gender swap everything these days. I could see we get a girl version of the Fall Guy next.
I mean, dude.
Or like, maybe we just get Metal Storm. That's the sequel.
Or something happens. Like, how crazy would it be to be like Metal Storm and like the audience starts watching it, you know, for the Metal Storm, and like halfway through, you find out this is not the movie at all. Like,
this is the Fall Guy sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, instead of the making of the movie in the movie, now we get the movie within the movie? The movie within the movie within the movie?
Now you're getting it.
Fucking Inception or whatever.
What a twist.
And I do like when they showed them within the movie setting up those stunt sequences. I mean, like, all the shit they're doing was like, at least from the outside, appeared to be like how you would actually set up these stunt sequences. And I was like, that's kind of cool that they're showing like the detail of what these people actually do in like, you know, real life. I mean, it was basically a movie was just like a love song to like the stunt community.
Which, I mean, it's a community that, dude, like, highly, highly underrated. Like,
yeah. That's like the, I can't remember her name, but she's like a huge Australian lady who's like a huge stunt woman that Quentin Tarantino like put her in Death Proof. And it was playing a stunt woman. And then you find out that, like, oh, yeah, she's, like, you know, was Uma Thurman's, like, you know, stunt woman on Kill Bill. And, like, had this huge, like, stunt career. And finally she gets to play herself pretty much in a movie. And I'm like, it's kind of cool to see these like, people who've made all the Hollywood actors look cool all these years finally getting a little bit of a spotlight turned on them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the people that have gone from stunts into the directing seat, dude, like, I haven't seen a bad one yet. Like,
yeah, fucking John Wick, this. There's a couple others that I'm just blanking on now that, like I said, are former stunt guys that are in the director's chair now. So as we kind of bring this car in for a landing, what do you think of your cigar there?
It's delicious. The spice is there, it's subtle, but man, the complexity of this with the earthiness, notes of espresso, I'm almost ready to get married again so you can buy me another one.
Yeah, and this...
Because I have a feeling, I don't know what the price point on this was, but I have a feeling this is one of those, you know, that you hinted not the usual rotation, so...
I mean, it wasn't one of those, like, you know, $100 sticks, but it was like a 20-something, $30 stick, depending on where you get it. So it's better than our $10 everyday smokes, but it wasn't like stupid expensive. So it's one you could afford to get another one.
Did you smoke one of these?
Yeah, I smoked mine. I bought two. I bought one for you and one for me, and then we both got busy and started raining, so I ended up smoking mine when I got home the next day. And it's good. It's peppery. I like the pepper, and it's like a kind of a hint of sweetness, like a little bourbony. Where this one, it's kind of coffee. It's like a spicy coffee. It's like a spice, pepper, coffee. It's almost like I put some habanero honey in my coffee one day, and it was like, it's sweet, but it burns a little. I like it.
See, I'm weird. Like, I have not jumped on the spicy drink bandwagon. Did you try one of the spicy margarita things?
Yeah, those were pretty good. Especially, like, I got one toward the... At first, I'm like, this is cool. And then I got one that was, like, at the bottom of the pitcher because they pre-mixed all the shit. So it had, like, it still had jalapeno seeds. And that last one I got, and I'm like, ooh, now this is actually fucking spicy. I like this. This alcohol hurts a little. It's right up my alley. Oh. But that's all we got for you this week. We'll be right back with some science.
Well, I'm not the kind to run and hide. When I come close to danger, I ain't never been afraid to take the fall. Yeah, I'll fall. I'll walk the wire through rain and fire. Go fast and I'll go slow. Somehow I get stronger through it all. It's a death defying. Take my chances. I'd die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I'll ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. Well, I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman.
love music from rock to soul, from prog to rap, from funk to metal, from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now, then check out Modern Musicology Podcast. Join hosts Alan, Stephanie, Anthony, and Rob for a wide variety of topic discussions and interviews with musicians, producers, authors, and more. As always, keep rocking on.
Yes, science! And welcome back. It's time for some science.
What are we going to do on this episode of science?
We're going to talk about weed, warp drives, dead monkeys, and YouTube friends.
I have a friend that does YouTubes.
So, first up, it's hot as balls out here. It's getting so hot, it's raining monkeys.
I mean, I've heard of it raining men, but...
Well, I remember, like, back in the winter, there was, like, a problem with iguanas falling out of trees in Florida because it was getting so
cold. They were freezing.
Well, Mexico apparently is experiencing a heat wave, and I didn't know this, but apparently there's a... one of the places that they were reporting this was in the city of Tabasco. I was like, there's a Tabasco, Mexico? Sweet. Is that where the sauce comes from? Or the peppers?
Well, I mean, you know, it comes from Tabasco peppers.
But yes, at least 138 howler monkeys have been found dead in the Gulf Coast state of Tabasco since May 16th, according to the Associated Press. Basically, it's so hot that these monkeys are just dropping out of the trees with the dehydration and fever, like, you know, aka pretty much like having a heat stroke.
That sucks, because when I was in Nicaragua, like, that was always kind of the thing you looked forward to in the morning was, you know, we were right on the cusp of one of the rainforest, and, dude, just the howler monkeys, like, going crazy. Like, it wasn't roosters that woke you, it was those guys. And they're loud as fuck, too.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, they're finding monkeys with symptoms of heat stroke, dehydration, malnutrition, or... you know, other things that they're not 100% sure what's causing the problems, but, you know, heat is the, excessive heat is the current, running theory. So if you happen to be in Mexico, like, wear your hard hat and, you know, look up for falling monkeys. You don't want to get spanked by the monkey. You want to spank the monkey.
How long were you working on that one?
I literally just came up with that one. It just popped into my head. Well, a new, you know, all you familiar with Star Trek, you know, we've been hearing of warp drive since the 60s. Well, apparently a new model suggests that warp drive may be actually achievable in the real world. You know, there has been studies on this, but the studies have kind of required a basically a non-existent energy source known as dark matter that are negative energy that they've never actually, it's only theoretical, never actually observed in the real universe. But authors of a new study claim to have found mathematical proof that warp drives can be in fact built without the need for exotic fuels. According to their calculations, the interplanetary transport system can feasibly be constructed using traditional and novel gravitational techniques to create a warp bubble that can transport objects at high speed within the bounds of known physics. So, like, now we're actually getting closer to shit being science and not sci-fi.
I mean, what happens when, like, all the things that were sci-fi... like, become reality, and we're just stuck with, like, what's the next reimagining?
I mean...
you know, because modern sci-fi is, like, still using ideas from 30, 40 years ago that are on the cusp of, you know, no longer being, you know, fiction.
Yeah, like fucking holograms and lasers and all kind of shit that in the 60s was... oh, this is totally fictional. To nowadays, like, yeah, that's like fucking cell phones, like the old Star Trek communicator, like video conferencing, you know, all these things that were sci-fi back in the day that we're using now. Like, who's coming up with like new sci-fi that like can eventually become like,
you know, I mean, the only thing,
maybe like mech suits and but that's even things that they're kind of working on these days. I mean, we're kind of far off from flying cars and Iron Man suits, but there's at least kind of working prototypes of that. Yeah, who's going to come up with the next movie, like, fictional thing that, you know, inspires the next generation of scientists to build some cool shit?
Portals to hell on Mars, bro.
Yep. So they're saying the solution involves combining a stable matter shell with a shift vector distribution that closely matches the well-known warp drive solutions, such as the Alcubierre metric. Dr. Jared Fuchs explained, we've shown that warp drives might not be relegated to science fiction. The physicists say, while it's technically that their solution would not be able to reach light speed, but it could get pretty damn close. And unfortunately, it basically uses gravity as a propulsion system, eliminating the need for the fictitious dark energy. Although the design would still require considerable amounts of energy. So at this point, it's just, hey, we wrote this paper in the Journal of Classic and Quantum Gravities. And this shit's possible, but we ain't got the batteries for it yet. Now we got to work on that problem. So we figured out the math on how to do the thing. Now we just need enough power to do the thing.
So who's it going to be? Is it going to be Musk? Is it going to be Rivian? Which one of these battery manufacturers are going to...
Hey, we got you this whatever quantum coil or what was it? 0-point module from Stargate that powered all the things.
It's going to be like some kind of like nuclear containment, you know, battery thing. It's like
a fucking real life proton pack. We built a nuclear accelerator that will fit in your trunk.
And if you cross the streams, it does this really cool thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of weird ideas, according to a new study, Americans rather get high than drunk. So, daily cannabis use overtakes drinking in the U.S. for the first time. Which makes sense with all the places that it's now legal.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's something to be said with, you're not necessarily going to have the detrimental hangover effects. You don't necessarily lose, I mean, unless you just get absolutely baked out of your mind. Like, being high is vastly different than being drunk. Like, you get to a certain level of drunkenness, and you're no longer functioning.
Yeah, and then there's, like, the downtime to, like, get back to sober, where I think, like, weed is, like, the recovery time seems to be much quicker than the recovery time from alcohol. I haven't heard of stoners talking about a stone hangover the next day. They may be a little bit extra hungry or sleepy the next day, but it's like I've not heard of any of the stoners I've encountered talking about a weed hangover.
I mean, I've definitely been in production environments knowing that some of the people I've, you know, been alongside, you know, like that was a routine. Like they woke up, they smoked a little bit, you know.
Oh, there's a guy that,
you know, and you know, never once, you know, missed a beat. Like,
there's a guy, because Facebook, or not Facebook, well, yeah, even Facebook and Instagram's basically turned into fucking TikTok, where once you've looked at all the things that are you're following, it starts giving you, like, suggestions. And there's this one guy I've come across, I think he goes by Stoner Gump, but he's a construction worker in real life, but he just gets baked as fuck and does these videos. And that dude, you know those, like, inflatable costumes like we see in Dragon Con?
Yeah, absolutely.
He basically built one of those with like it was like some kind of like DeWalt blower, and just basically forced weed into the suit and built like a walking bong, and just got obliterated. He's like, I'm going to space, and this is my rocket ship.
Well, I've seen like at some of the festivals and stuff where they have like this fucking a leaf blower, and then, you know, just a fucking zipped up enclosure that you step in and the leaf blower fires up, and you know,
it's... Yeah, he did that in one of his videos too. He had like, it was basically one of those Christmas like giant like snow globes, but he hooked it up to a leaf blower and got inside of it and like smoked himself out. It was it's fucking hysterical. I'm like, yeah, so it's like, I don't know if it's because of the legality of it or just social media, but yeah, it's like, yeah, according to study author Jonathan P. Culkins from Carnegie Mellon University, who looked at data from the National Household Survey on Drug Abuse, as well as the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, determined how usage rates have changed between 79 and 2022. So, yeah, you know, and they claim, you know, major shifts in U.S. drug policy has resulted in the fluctuation in cannabis consumption going way up than it used to. So, yeah, it's like still overall, you know, there's more drinkers in the U.S., but as far as the daily drinkers versus daily smokers, the stoner population has skyrocketed, overtaking regular alcohol use for the first time. So fire one up if you're, you know, we still live in a non-legal state unless you're doing the Delta 8s or the...
Yeah, but I heard that even that, like, the THC-derived Delta 8s, like...
You can get stoned as fuck, but it's like...
They're looking to, you know, put those on the banned list, you know, and...
The problem is you still test positive, so they, you know, if you're working a job where you have to take a drug test, they can't tell the legal shit from the illegal shit. You're still going to get into trouble if you are a partaker. So yeah, check your local laws and regulations before following this trend. And in another study, parasocial relationships make us happier than our friends do, apparently. So yeah.
I mean, that's true. I disappoint you a lot.
Demo Ranch never disappoints me.
Exactly. And he does a lot cooler shit than I do.
Yeah, so in this new study, people... parasocial relationships are basically one-sided relationships like, you know, you have with the people that you follow on social media. And they said... You know, according to this study, people got more fulfillment and enjoyment out of watching, you know, YouTube or whatever social influencer versus talking to their own, like, coworkers. So, basically, weak, two-sided relationships were less emotionally fulfilling than one-sided parasocial relationships. They said still... Close personal relationships were still stronger, more fulfilling, and made people more happy, you know, with your loved ones and close friends and all that. But as far as just people you associate with, you get more enjoyment out of, you know, watching some idiot on YouTube or on this podcast or our YouTube channel. Hey, if we're your virtual friends, good on you, buddy. We appreciate you. I'll be your friend in real life if we ever see each other. But yeah, so yeah, people get more fulfillment out of their fictional friends than they do their kind of weak associated people in their lives.
Well, I also saw, like, you know, there was a study or an article that I was reading, you know, just kind of the overall effects of social media. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, you see all of these influencers and other things, how, oh, I travel the globe, I go on these lavish trips, I, you know, live in a life of luxury, and, like, the adverse, like, depression aspect of things, because people trying to compare their lives to, you know, the life of this, you know, social media influencer, star, whatever, and I'm like, yeah, I can absolutely, you know, see how that could be, you know, and then, you know, you see the things, it's like, oh yeah, I'm on my way to Paris, I'm going to film a video of me from the airplane through the milk jug by the window. Yeah,
the fakers.
Like,
I mean, most of the people I follow on YouTube are like gun tubers, because, like, I'm never probably going to be financially stable enough to own a belt-fed machine gun, but I can always go online and watch some other person do a breakdown of it. So I like to, like, look at things that I'm probably not going to be able to do in real life or ever own, or even, like, historical, like, old shit that I'm like, it's a lot of, like, the historic, like, I saw things like, as you get older, every man becomes obsessed with World War II. And I got to say, like, some of these historical, like, YouTube channels, like, yeah, I guess I'm getting that age, because I watch a shitload of, like, Fat Electrician and some of these other, like, historical recaps.
You know what's going to come shortly after that, though, is you're going to gain your old man strength.
Hell yeah.
That's the era of life I'm looking forward to.
I Can't wait. Well, that's all I got for you this week. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in nerd news.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
In this rendition of news, we're going to talk about comics, upcoming movies, upcoming Netflix series, and some other surprises. So stay tuned.
Utter shit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about cows.
Well, earlier in the main segment, we talked about, you know, some of the badass Lego sets and, you know, that sort of thing. So, Lego has just revealed a 5,471-piece...
I thought you were going to say dollars.
No. I'm not sure. This may translate to dollars real quickly, but this is going to be a Lord of the Rings Dark Tower of Mordor set. You know... So, yeah, you know.
Yeah, fucking Legos, man. Got them. Those ain't for kids anymore. Shit's too fucking expensive.
But I love it because as you're building this thing, it's going to include a lot of Easter eggs and everything else, you know, as you're building the set. I'm looking for some, you know. Yeah, so I guess you'll, you know, in addition, you'll also get some characters and some other things, you know, that'll go along with the Dark Tower. You know, it'll have the throne room, the compartments that open to reveal a map, ladder on the top floor of the tower can be moved left and right. At the summit, you know, you'll have Eye of Sauron, which rotates in various directions and features a light brick to make the eye glow. There's also 10 minifigures, including Sauron, Mouth of Sauron, Orc, Frodo, Sam, Gollum, and Gothmog. And if you purchase between June 1st and June 7th, you'll receive a free Legos icons. You know, that'll, you know, the Fel Beast set, which features posable wings, joints, and Nazgul minifigures. And this will be available for purchase on June 4th. This is recommended for ages 18 plus. I guess expect little tiny pieces with this, because 5,400 pieces are kind of ridiculous. But I think it's just amazing what you can do with Legos now. Like, gone are the days of you and I just, you know, building block houses.
Yeah.
But. As we move right along, Witcher Season 4 promo teaser. We get Liam Hemsworth as Geralt of Rivia.
That reveal, too, is kind of because it looks like him from the back, and then he turns to look at the camera, like, oh, it's not him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, such a tease. You know, the link that we'll share will include some, you know, set photos and official images that were shared online. Blah. But, you know, yeah, it was purposely, I think, done in, you know, the gloomy, foggy type area just to mask everything. People are still complaining.
Obviously. As the internet does.
Yes, absolutely.
That was Cavill set a pretty high bar. We'll see if Thor Jr. can stand up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess they're shooting these final two seasons back to back. You know, season 5 already, you know, has been touted as marks the end, but yeah, I guess we'll see if that truly holds or not. You know, money talks.
Yeah. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that would be like, fuck this, there's no Cavill, and may not give it a chance. But
yeah, absolutely.
We'll see if it's worth it or not.
Well, speaking of worth it, Deadpool and Wolverine has broken the R-rated movie presale ticket records.
Yeah, that's insane. That shit doesn't come out for
Yeah, I mean, we're still, you know, 2 months away, and, you know, ticket sales started up this week, and so many fans have pre-bought tickets. The pre-sale record has been broken for highest sales in R-rated movie history. After just one day, the movie sold almost $9 million worth of tickets.
Hells yeah.
I don't know. Like, this is probably going to be one where it's strictly going to be a theater full of Deadpool versus Wolverine.
I did see a pirate Deadpool at the Renaissance Festival.
But, you know, I think this is a good thing to, like... I don't know. We talked about Fall Guy and, you know, how good that movie is still doing. But, dude, I've been concerned if we're going to be able to maintain a theater in Dawsonville because, you know, a lot of times I go and there's not very many cars in the parking lot these days.
No, but then again, I usually end up seeing it like weird hours, like middle of the week. Or I haven't gone to like a Friday premiere to see how busy it is on a opening weekend on anything in a while.
Yeah. So I don't know. I definitely think I'm going to call it now.
Okay.
Return to Deadpool and Wolverine, number one cosplay of Dragon Con 2024.
Probably. Yes. At this point, it's like, I think that, yeah, we're, you know, the Deadpool mania has kind of died down the last couple years, but I think we're going to get a re-up on the massive Deadpools this upcoming year.
Now, I will say I'm going to throw in another contender, though, but with Beetlejuice coming out, I expect to see, you know, quite also, a few Beetlejuice and, you know, Wendy, right? I got that right? Or no, is that Adam's Family?
Yeah, that's Wednesday is Adam's Family. God. Fuck, what is the girl's name? Lydia.
Lydia, that's it.
There you go.
You know, I mean, I could see, you know, the both of those characters playing a big role.
Yeah,
so
it's good
expect
to
see a lot less pink and a lot more black, purple, red, and yellow.
Oh, no, we're going to get Deadpool Barbie this year.
No, that's Barbie craze is over in Dunwood,
Beetlejuice Barbie.
I think. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to see...
After last Dragon Con, I was hearing Hello Barbie in my fucking nightmares for weeks.
Well, we don't really talk too much about comics, but, you know, this kind of seemed interesting to me. I guess there's going to be a Marvel Comics miniseries of Predator versus Black Panther.
That's got potential. I mean, they did a Batman versus Predator back in the day. I think they did like two volumes of it too, and it was. I think I have them or had them at some point, and they were pretty badass. So, you know, and T'Challa is basically Black Batman.
Well, this is going to be a 4-issue miniseries, Predator and Black Panther will face off with one another. Kind of the synopsis is. The Predator is headed toward the African nation of Wakanda to obtain vibranium for his tribe, and while the creature is on the mission, it finds itself at odds with Black Panther.
I mean, we got the movie, whatever, Prey, with Predator versus Indians. I mean, Predator versus the Marvel Universe, that might be a decent movie.
So, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, kind of some of their weapon choices that, you know, the Wakandans have access to, as well as the Predator, and you're throwing the vibranium into the mix and everything.
I just had an idea. Predator versus Punisher. Frank could be the most dangerous prey. I can see Frank tanking on the Predator. That would be interesting.
So, all right. How do we get in touch with Benjamin Percy? And
has anyone got Feige's number?
Yeah, that's Benjamin Percy is going to be the writer, and Chris Allen, Ken Lashley will be the artist for this miniseries, and. Like, somehow we got to get a hold of their Twitter handles or something and be like, hey.
Like, next. Predator versus Punisher.
But, you know, I will say that, you know, Percy goes on to state that if you're a comic nerd, I will feed you. If you're a movie nerd, I will feed you too. And if you've never read or seen anything about Predator or Black Panther, you can get fed as well. I want these to be evergreen titles, and the best way to accomplish this is honor the legacy while not overly burdening the reader with continuity homework.
Sweet.
This series is set to debut on August 21st. And we alluded to, Beetlejuice already.
You've already said his name too many times. Fuck.
Nah, you got to say it like Beetlejuice, 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 okay?
Ah, fuck. Here he comes. But we got our first, full trailer of Beetlejuice, seeing good old Michael Keaton back in the striped suit. Dude can do no wrong. I mean, it looks legit.
I'll say that, and this might just be, trailer magic or whatever, but it looked to be more fun and enjoyable than Keaton returning to do Batman.
Maybe.
I mean, and it might just be, the portrayal is why I kind of said,
you know. Kick right square in the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Beetlejuice is probably one of favorite old school movies. So, yeah, I do like the late stage sequels versus remakes. So it looks like they've got most of the band back together with the addition of Wednesday, aka what's her name from
Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, Jenna Ortega playing the daughter of Lydia.
Dude, she's going to be a rock star.
She's
already kind of blown up, but I only see her blowing up even more. And rightfully so.
All the newer Scream movies. I mean, we got a season two of Wednesday. I think they're working on that, filming that now. So, yeah, she's definitely on the, rising star at this point. She's going to be in everything for the next couple of years, probably.
Well, we know for sure she's going to be in Beetlejuice, and folks can see that in theaters starting September 6th, 2024. Any other news, tidbits, anything you want to share with the folks at home?
I think that's about all we got for you this week. I will be at River City Steampunk Expo this upcoming weekend, so if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area and want to have a smoke, hit me up. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESOnetwork.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Cigar Nerd Pod, and we're on the YouTubes at Cigar Nerd Podcast. Get your shirts at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. Get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Promo code Cigar Nerds. And with that, I'm going to leap off a tall building. Peace. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.